This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And we move on. The roadshow rumbles on to Hillsborough. As mentioned earlier, when we do our plan at the start of every season for when we're podcasting, this game against Wednesday was going to be on a Wednesday. We were going to record on a Thursday. Then Sky have got involved. The game against Wednesday is now on a Tuesday. So we're now going to be live on Wednesday, not Thursday like originally planned, but live on Wednesday to talk about Wednesday on Tuesday. I've even messed myself up there. But the 5th of March 2011, 14 years ago, Plymouth Argyle travelled to Hillsborough to play Sheffield Wednesday. We won 4-2, 14 years on the 5th of March 2024. Plymouth Argyle will go to Hillsborough. Thank you to Rory Drake for pointing that quirk out. I'm not going to say those words that end his comment because I don't really want to comprehend that. It was always going to be a six-pointer. Get the cliche in there. It's bloody massive, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely huge game. I'm a little bit annoyed that Rory got in there before me on that one. I had that one lined up about the 5th of March. I really did. Oh, that's annoyed me. But fair play, Rory. Fantastic knowledge. Has to be, obviously, to compete with me. But, it is a huge, huge game. Because with them, they're still ultimately 3 points off safety, despite their brilliant run of form. You've got to think for them, if they slip up to us and Stoke win and Millwall win, you know, then all of a sudden they could be, wow, 6 off safety. And that then they're really starting to look like getting caught adrift. And I think Danny Roll's done brilliantly. I think they were on something absolutely ridiculous, like 3 points out of 13 games when he came in. So the fact that they're even in contention with safety said he's done a superb job with them. They're a very tough to beat outfit, particularly at Hillsborough. I think since Danny Rolls come in, they've only lost maybe 3 times at Hillsborough, not very many. Twice even possibly, I don't know. But they're very hard to beat on their own ground. I think it's one of those whereby if we were going into it in better circumstances, you'd be happy with a draw. With the sort of wave of negativity, both from fans and dare I say, in some of the head coach's comments, we really now want to be targeting nothing less than a maximum 3 points from that game. Not only the vibes reason, not only the, you know, to lift the mood around the club, but also because this is looking, and I think we've probably all made this point offline or in our tweets or whatever. I don't think we've really yet made this point on the podcast. Wow, so Jordan in the replies of Wednesday, and I just confirmed that actually I was understating it. They've only lost once at home since Ron has been there. So if we can make that twice, we'll have done very well indeed. So fair play, Jordan. I underestimated how well Roll had done. Yeah, I think that, what was I saying before I got sidetracked there? I think I was saying that not only are the vibes, the point that we've not really yet made on this podcast is this is going to require a probably very high points total to survive. It was only a few weeks ago we were looking at maybe 44, 45 points might be enough. Then with a couple of wins, I think it might be 48, 49. Now I think the more I look at it and the more I look at fixtures, it's probably going to need 50, 51, maybe even 52 points to guarantee survival, which is very rare, by the way, for this league. Normally, 46, 47 is enough most years, more often than not. So this is going to be a very rare year where it requires such a high total. So a win is vital for us. Look, I'm not saying a draw would be a disastrous result. As we've established, Sheffield Wednesday are very, very good at home. But we need to start getting these wins on the board, because at the minute we're on, what is it, 40 or 41? We're on 41, I think we're on, aren't we? 40, okay, 40. Maybe I was counting the goal difference as our extra points. So it's 40 that we're on. We need, I'm going to say, at least 3 wins and 2 draws. And they've got to start coming from somewhere. And this, you know, I think if we don't cut out of Wednesday and Blackburn having at least a win in there, even if we lose the other, if we don't come out of Wednesday and Blackburn having at least a win in there, I would be very, very concerned indeed.
Is one of those 3 wins coming at Hillsborough, Adam?
Cool. Well, I was hoping so. And then I heard the stat about them only losing once they're under Roll. And I'm struggling to see it. But, I mean, the job Roll's done at Sheffield Wednesday needs to be appreciated. And you look at where they were, you know, under Cisco Munoz earlier on in the season with, I think you said their sound was like 3 points and 13 or something like that. And it's interesting because you look at the XG and the way that it's playing, they're actually not been too much of a difference. Just the fact that under Munoz, they lost so many big moments. It was uncanny. I mean, if you think Plymouth Argyle right now have a soft underbelly, you ain't seen nothing yet. Have a look at Sheffield Wednesday under Cisco Munoz and see how much that could go wrong, did go wrong. And Roll's come in and he's put a stop to that. And that's where ultimately he's got a lot of his success. There's also been positives in terms of the way that he's brought players either into the team or back into the team. There's a couple of examples to look at. I mean, Marvin Johnson's one of them. I don't know what was happening with him under Munoz. There'd obviously been some sort of a falling out, shall we call it, between them. I'm not privy to the details, perhaps I should be, but you know, unprofessional as ever. But the way that he wasn't getting a look in under Munoz and has come in under Roll and, you know, suddenly doesn't lose base in the side and is performing is an example. Clearly there's some sort of man management that has gone on there that has worked out, and to get one of their best players, certainly from last season, back into the side, he's obviously done something right. I look also at the players that have been brought in the transfer window, Perveda, one of them, but particularly Ikeadbo. I mean, he wasn't necessarily pulling up any trees on loan at Cardiff, but they've obviously seen something in him, brought him through the door, and he's really hit the ground running, scored the winner very recently, and that's not the only goal he scored for sure. So, yeah, you know, it's difficult to see. Actually, with the way that we've gone, certainly in a lot of the previous games, that a win will come there, particularly with how Roll's got them playing. But as perhaps a crumb of comfort, it was very difficult to see us going after the West Brom game and putting a couple of goals past Boris. So maybe, I don't know, it'll be a game that suits us, but we're going to have to spend some time on the back foot.
We certainly are. And to use one of Fozzie's cliches, there are going to be periods in this game where we will suffer. But hopefully, fingers crossed, that there will be periods in the game where we will make Wednesday suffer. And hopefully they outweigh the former. We'll move on to some of our thoughts on team news now for the trip to Hillsborough. Obviously, this week, as far as I can work out, for the first time all season, the current incumbent of the throne at Plymouth Argyle actually had a full complement of every fit professional to choose from. Even Stephen Schumacher, all the way back at the start of the season, didn't have a full squad to pick from at any point. So that brings us on to the team news. Now, I personally, throwing my tuppence into the ring, I would quite like to see us do a, you know, when you're playing Football Manager, just think of it as a computer game for a minute. You're playing Football Manager, you're not in great form, you're struggling for a bit of momentum. What do? 4-2-3-1, you reset and you go all out attack. Now, I have said for a while this season, and it's in our group chats, and I'm sure somebody will be able to find it in there, that I think 4-2-3-1 actually suits our squad very well. And the way I would set it up would be Gibson and Galloway as the two centre backs. You would have Miller and Sorinola, or Miller and Mumba, whoever, as the full backs. You could have two then in midfield of Randall, Houghton, or Forshaw. Further forward, you can then get a system where you can play Whittaker, JB, and Devine with Hardy up front. Now, I think that's quite an interesting concept to go with. I don't expect it to happen. Sam and Adam, there's a question here. I think, Sam, this was in question to what you were saying about the 3-4-3 earlier on from Steve, saying we need to go back to a 4-3-3 or even the 4-2-3-1 I've just mentioned. Darren says Bundu deserves to start on Tuesday night. We had a few questions about Bundu tonight. And Colin asks, would you stick Dan Scar back in? So what is your, if you had a clean slate, you were given the role by Ian Foster to pick the team, give us a formation, what you go with?
Yeah, 4-3-3. I'm going to go Cooper of a Hazard. I don't think Hazard was to blame for either goal, but I just think Cooper just has that more confidence he inspires in his defence, better command of area, better distribution, and Hazard's main strength of shot stopping. I think Cooper equals it, probably betters it when he's fully fit. So I'm going to go Cooper in goal. I'm going to then go right. I'm going to go 4-3-3. I'm going to go Sorinola, right back. I think he's had hot and cold moments, but I think there's a player in there. I'm going to go Pleggy and Gibson as the centre-backs. I'm going to then go for Galloway as the left-back, because I think everyone forgets that Galloway...
I'm glad you said that, because Porridge Oates sent a comment in about the team that I said about two left-footed centre-backs, 99% of managers scream that. That totally slipped my mind, and it's why I'm not a football manager. But you are right, Sam. Galloway has done it before. He did it last season when we played four at the back in a couple of games. And he did it this season as well.
So I'd go. I mean, I've got a little bit of doubt about Pleggy in a back four because that was where he was weaker earlier in the season. But I think with his renewed form and renewed confidence, I'd go maybe Phillips. But I think it's a bit of a coin toss. But I think I'd just go Pleggy over Phillips. So I'd go Pleggy, Fuelo, Gibson, Galloway is the left back. I would then go Houghton. I think Forshaw was brilliant against Cardiff. He was brilliant first half at Sunderland before he got injured. But he wasn't very good coming on, in all truth, yesterday. So I wouldn't go for him to start. I'd, again, give him another chance off the bench. So I'd go Houghton. Houghton in that kind of single pivot where he played so well earlier in the season. Two in front of him. I'm going to go Randall and Devine. I think going back to Pye's comments earlier about Devine being a bit disappointing, I kind of agree, but I do think he's a CM. All day long he's a CM. He's not a winger. I think we played him out of position. So I think if we go to 4-3-3, not that that's the main reason to do so, but another nice side effect of going to 4-3-3 is I think we'll see a lot more good stuff come out of Devine. So I'd go Houghton, Randall, Devine. Front three, Whittaker, Hardy, Mumba. The same front three as earlier in the season. I think Mumba is a funny old player because I think genuinely, as much as I do like him, as much as I have stuck up for him a lot this season, he's kind of neither really one thing nor another. He's not quite defensively good enough to be an absolutely top class wing back. But also, his main strength is carrying the ball from deep areas, which maybe goes against him playing in the front three, because in the front three, he's starting in high areas. So it is a difficult one to know what, as much as he does have a very good set of skills, it is at times a difficult one to know what to do with him. But I just think that cutting inside, it will give us a bit of something. So I'm going to go Mumba. I'm going to go Whittaker, Hardy, Mumba, which then leaves quite a, in theory, strong-looking bench that would look something like Hazard, Phillips, JB, Forshaw, Bundu, Wayne, whoever I'm forgetting, Miller, Sousa, and Edwards. Yeah, probably that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Adam?
So, yeah, I think I'm doing the same with the formation. I think we've discussed it to the death. I think 4-3-3 at the minute feels like the way to go. I am also very much in agreement with putting Cooper in goal. And I don't necessarily think we should be taking that as words against Hazard in any way. Now, I think he's been fine. He certainly wasn't responsible for any of the goals that went in at the weekend, but we've got Michael Cooper. You know, when you put it down to that, it becomes a simple decision. Michael Cooper is objectively excellent. I think statistically, he has outperformed outperformed Hazard in even his main strength of shot stopping. So, yeah, he certainly gets in for me. With the back four, I'm tempted to agree with the Galloway at left back option. I think you can make an argument, albeit a tenuous one, that actually he is a left back and he fills in at centre back on occasion. Whether I necessarily agree with that, I don't know, but he's certainly got enough experience at left back to carry it off. That is off, no doubt. In the middle, Gibson's an obvious starter. I'm tempted to bring in Phillips for this one. I just think he's less likely to be bullied in the back four by Ogbo than Plegasuela would. But again, with the way that Plegi's been in form, I'm not necessarily against that either. I'm tempted also to think that maybe it's a game where I want to see Joe Edwards come into. I'm not necessarily thinking that he is a better player than everyone we've got as an option at right back. But I think Pye mentioned it a little earlier. In the terms of our season, this is one of the bigger games. And having that sort of leadership there, I'm not against it, in truth. I'm not against it at all. So there is an added bonus there as well, in the sense that if you do have that back four with Galloway as the left back and Edwards as the right back, you do have the option, if you want to switch that formation. Bring Galloway, Gibson, Phillips into that back three, have Edwards the wing back, and Mumba, who is going to be in my team later on, and can switch to the wing back on the other side. It makes it flexible, and I think that's probably, for this specific game anyway, the best way we can set up our back four. In the middle, I'm not against Houghton at all, and I'm not against Forshaw at all, in truth, based on the way that I've just mentioned the leadership point, but bearing in mind that the fact that my team does already have Joe Edwards in it, I'm not necessarily sure Forshaw is as necessary, so let's throw Houghton in there. Randall, the way he's played, particularly away from home in the Borough game, I think is a shoe-in. Do I put him alongside Devine? Yeah, we'll go for it. I think it's certainly on the point that you've made, Sam, and to be honest, a lot of people have made as well, that we think he's going to look better in central midfield. In this formation is probably the most ideal way to do that, so I'm going for, by the sounds of it, exactly the same midfield and exactly the same front line as you, Sam, with the Houghton, Randall and Devine in the middle, Mumba, Whittaker and Hardy providing that front three, with the basis that can allow us to be fluid and that can allow us to switch our shape in a number of ways if we need to. I don't mind your idea, Joe, about the 4-2-3-1, although using the football manager analogy and bleeding it dry, I'm not entirely sure what the fitness levels are in this team. I'm not sure if the green heart next to every player is quite as green as it should be after a tough old game at the weekend. So I'm not sure. The difficulty I have with the 4-2-3-1 is I don't think that's the sort of shape that would suit Houghton the best it could. I think the way that we've seen him play and excel, certainly at this level, has been in that single pivot in the deeper role. I'm not entirely sure it would suit him as well in the 4-2-3-1, but again, maybe I'm wrong. But I take the comment on board as well. This is on the basis that I have the clean slate and I can decide the team. Realistically, it's going to be a back three. And we should probably be thinking of ways to make that work. But yeah, for me, I think that 4-3-3 formation sent with for this one is the way to go. And yeah, the only changes I make from Sam's side is a couple at the back. And even on those, I'm happy to waver either way. So I think we're thinking on similar lines.
Yeah, this is also quite an interesting game. I'm sort of mindful of the fact that we rattled through talking about the game. We didn't really highlight any of Sheffield Wednesday's key threats. Obviously, Ugbo's got a fair mention there. And, you know, we all know the potential, not the potential, he's in his 30s now, but we all know the ability of Barry Bannon and what a tenacious character he is. And Volks is back in the side. They've got a very settled back line as well. Masaba on one side, Poveda on the other. They seem to have a real set system and under Danny Rule. And it's definitely going to be a different game to the one that we had when he first came in. He's, you know, the way he's united that football club really is a testament to him. You would have to wonder if he manages to keep them up, which at the start of his tenure looked incredibly unlikely, but he's making a bloody good fist of it at the moment. You'd have to wonder just how many potential suitors will be looking at the job he's done to take him either higher up this division or perhaps even to tempt him to one of the potential jobs that could become available in the merry-go-round that's expected in the Premier League over the summer. Because I certainly think he is a manager who could go right to the very top with what he's showing at Sheffield Wednesday. But that's enough of that. There's only one thing left to do, and it's the bit that we all really look forward to, and that is to get some score predictions off the panel. Sam, come to you first. As mentioned, 6-pointer, big game. Final score between Sheffield Wednesday and Plymouth Argyle is?
I'm going to give a little bit of a justification. I'm torn between two instincts. I'm torn between the instinct that actually, you know what, he's only been our manager 11 games. All of our worrying about Foss is going to make us look really silly and he's going to get a win like he did at Borough. One's part of me saying that, another part of me saying, no, the vibes are all off. We're going to go there and get absolutely beat around the park and lose 3-0. And I don't know which side to trust, so I'm going to go straight down the middle. I'm going to go 1-1 draw.
Howard, Adam.
Oh, I'm also very much a coward here. I was going to say 1-1 as well. I think simply for the fact that I know they don't lose often at home at all at the minute, but I think it's a style of play and the sort of game that could just about suit us if we play it right. So 1-1, I think it evened itself out.
I'm going to be even more boring than the pair of you. And we don't have too many of these. I actually think that this is a game that both teams are going to be really paranoid about, that we cannot lose. And I think we might cancel each other out here, and this could be a nil-nil. I hope I'm wrong, because, you know, I want to see an entertaining game of football on Tuesday night. But I do just wonder, with everything that's going on around with, you know, it seems everyone below us is now in form, and everyone from us and above are not in form, which lends, as a neutral watching the Championship this year, for it to be a really interesting end to the season. But I do think it'll be tight. It wouldn't surprise me if there's only one goal in it. We don't have too many of those games, certainly not in the last few years. That is all for tonight. We've kept you for an hour and 37 minutes. Couple of things to say. First of all, thank you to everyone who's contributed in the comments this evening. If you are only just tuning in and you have missed this live episode, it will be available on all your podcast platforms, on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. You can find it wherever it is you've logged on to watch it now. So you can watch it back. If you want to see certain moments of it, then feel free to go back at a later date. As mentioned, the game is now on Tuesday night on the 5th of March. It is a co-exclusive broadcast on Sky Sports, Sky Sports Arena, I think it is, the channel that's been selected for it. Programme starts at 7:40. I think co-exclusive basically means that Sky will show it, but you can also buy it through Argyle TV and Owls TV, whatever it is, the Sheffield Wednesday option. But the game is live for everyone to watch on Sky. And we will be back live on Wednesday night for yet another busy show, I'm sure. Aaron's back in the seat. Just to let everyone know, I was not showing Aaron's comments. Aaron is in the gallery tonight. He was showing his own comments. Bit petty, if you ask me. But he will be back in the hosting chair on Wednesday night, and we've got a few of the regulars in place for Wednesday, I believe, without looking at the rota right now. Adam, Sam, thank you for joining me. you started it. Thank you for joining me. Ben, who joined us earlier, thanks to him. And, of course, Pie Face as well. Great to have Pie on the Green and White podcast. And it won't be the last time, we hope, between now and the end of the season moving forward. But do keep an eye out on Wednesday night for the live stream post Sheffield Wednesday, where we will also preview the trip to Blackburn at the weekend. And then, if you haven't already, we brought out My Argyle Life last week with the excellent Chris Webb, who has spent time as president of the football club and, of course, was a key figure in the administration process. Sam and Aaron sat down with Chris in an episode that was released on Wednesday, I think it was. And it really is a very, very good episode. And it's to go alongside the My Argyle Life with Graham Clark, who is a podcast panelist, as they discuss the administration and what can be done. Chris gives a good insight as what can be done for Torquay United. Last but not least, I'm going to stop waffling in a minute. Do check out, if you haven't already, the Devon Day that we are trying to promote in conjunction with Torquay United to get as many people to Plainmoor on the 23rd of March. We don't have a game. It's the international break. Torquay are home to Hampden and Richmond, I think it is, in the National League South that day at Plainmoor. And it would be great if those who are in the area or just fancy getting out of the house for a few hours if the sun's shining, to get yourself to the Riviera and go along and support Torquay. They're in desperate need of everyone to show them a bit of support at the moment. As far as I know, they're not yet officially in administration, but they have served the notice that they intend to go into administration. But, you know, we wish our friends at Torquay all the best. That's it for tonight. Adam, Sam, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Yes, pleasure.
And we will see you all on Wednesday evening. And don't forget, tomorrow's a new day. It's a new week. It's some big games this week. Good night, folks.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.